Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're heading to Zurich for another special edition of the programme. In focus today is the UBS Grand Challenge, an internal competition to develop innovative financial solutions that help to address some of society's biggest challenges. All UBS employees were encouraged to come up with ideas and form working groups to develop the themes. In today's programme, we'll meet the finalists whose ideas were shortlisted and hear from the winner, who'll take their work to Washington, D.C. to work with UBS's partners on the project, the Centre for Global Development, to develop it further. We'll hear too from the judging panel, including its chair and its representative from the CGD. Monocle's Daniel Giacopelli was in Zurich asking the questions. We start the programme with Caroline Anstey, Global Head of UBS and Society and the Chair of the Grand Challenge Jury. Caroline explains the background to the event and sets the scene for us.
In 2015, I was in Addis Ababa at the UN Financing for Development Conference, and I was asked to speak on behalf of the private sector. And it was actually the first time the private sector had ever been asked to address the plenary where Ban Ki-moon speaks and others. And it became very apparent that everybody was now looking at a new alliance between the public sector, the private sector, and finance to try and make the Sustainable Development Goals possible. Ban Ki-moon then threw out his challenge associated with the signature of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and I think UBS, and I give them a lot of credit, has taken up that gauntlet and done something which I think is very brave, which is to challenge your own staff. It's much easier to challenge external staff, but when you challenge your own staff, you're really putting your abilities, your expertise, your passion on the line. And I think the evidence shows that everybody at UBS really embraced that opportunity. We set aside a period for people to apply, and it built and built and built until we had more than 1,200 people, which is beyond our wildest dreams when we started. And we also set up websites where people could connect with each other. And I think the really exciting thing was to see people from different parts of the world, different business divisions, asset management, investment bank, wealth management, looking for partners and using those websites to say, I'm really interested in the challenge on education. Who wants to partner? So we felt like we were also matchmaking across the firm, and I think that's been one of the most exciting parts. We worked with CGD, the Center for Global Development, to craft the challenges. They're really the development experts, foremost think tank in the world on some of those issues. Craft the five challenges, and then we were looking for, we had a group of criteria, but we were really looking for something that would bridge that market failure, that could be used perhaps by UBS, but also by others as an instrument to help garner financial support for these issues. And so innovation, marketability, the ability to really make a difference, collaboration across our firm, which was a big deal for us. And I think what is the extraordinary thing is we ended up with six, we could have ended up with 60 in the final.
Caroline Anstey. Well, let's hear next from some of those finalists that Caroline's just been describing. First up.
Hi, my name is Joan Smock. I work for asset management in Asia, in Hong Kong. My role is a business manager, Asia Pacific. I'm based in Hong Kong. The name of our project is the Green Bond Fund. Green Bond is an existing fixed income instrument available in the market, and it's a growing market as well. It's no different from any fixed income bonds, which the difference is the proceeds of a Green Bond Fund will be directly funded environmental related or climate change related projects. So the idea here is that we create a Green Bond Fund which we select the green bonds in the market so that through the fund, we have a more diversified investor be able to make an impact to the environment. For example, institutional clients nowadays have more media attention in terms of how they invest their investment into socially responsible investments or sustainable investments. So these are one of the people that could actually use this fund to take part into this whole climate change initiatives. And obviously also private clients, which is also another hot topic for themselves, because at the end of the day, climate change affects every one of us. And this is something that should resonate to all of us and to participate in making a change.
I'm Alix Flouneau, and I work with UBS Asset Management as an environmental, social and governance risk analyst. The Demeter Fund is about mixing traditional sustainable investment strategy with an activist hedge fund strategy to achieve both financial and environmental returns. In non-finance speak, it means investing in companies where we think we can make a difference to make their asset less polluting, or providing funding for companies that have innovative ideas that will impact the environment positively.
Owen Bader is from the Centre for Global Development, one of the world's leading think tanks in international development, and the organisation that worked with UBS to realise the Grand Challenge project.
I think the development community, by and large, and this is a generalisation, there are some exceptions, doesn't understand the financial sector well, and indeed that sometimes there's some suspicion of financial instruments and financial engineering. And that means that probably there are some missed opportunities to use finance and to use the power of incentives and the extra money that we could bring to solve some of these problems. So that's why working with UBS, we can learn from really smart people about possible solutions, and they can learn a bit from us about what the big problems are that need solving. We arrived at a series of problems. Part of this was to do with how to bring private investment into infrastructure, how to get more kids into school. There are too many kids that are either not in school or in school but not learning. So how could we innovate to tackle that? To how to get more investment into solving the world's neglected diseases, the diseases that mainly affect poor people across the developing world. How could we invest to solve those problems? How could we bring more investment into tackling environmental problems, problems which have big environmental costs but not yet a big financial return to invest in them? So those were the kinds of challenges that we thought that an organisation like UBS could help solve.
Another finalist of the Grand Challenge was School of Thought.
My name is Lucy, and I'm an FX options trader working for UBS Investment Bank in London office. My idea is we would like to propose UBS Education Bond to tackle learning issues in developing countries. We really believe that learning is the fundamental human right, and now still like 4 out of 10 children in the world still cannot read, and we want to work with the government who will be the main decision maker in this issue. So let's say government will issue a bond and they pay 10% coupon. But if learning outcome increase, then they'll say, let's say 5% coupon only, and 5% either they keep and redistribute it into either communities or your teachers union, the guys who actually try to implement the change in the village. And as a socially minded investor, you really do not mind letting go some of the financial return that you are making, because thanks to you, now a lot more children can read and write.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look to infrastructure as a key asset class. We'll hear from more of the Grand Challenge jury panel, and of course, we'll reveal the winner. Paul Moy is UBS Global Head of Infrastructure and Private Equity based in London. Paul talks a little about the challenge of infrastructure as an asset class in developing markets.
In developing countries, it's a particular challenge because it's a very young asset class. The institutional investors are getting used to the asset class, and in many of their allocations, they're biased towards existing projects that they can do due diligence on rather than new development, so not taking development and construction risk. And the majority of projects in emerging markets, you have to take development and construction risk. There's a crushing need for investment in infrastructure and related services. So there's a big challenge for professional investors like ourselves to educate the investors in our funds, to broaden the mandates to emerging markets. And technically, in investing in those emerging markets, there's real challenges in terms of political risk insurance and other sorts of credit insurance to support the development of those projects. All infrastructure ultimately has government involvement. If it's privately financed and operated, then there's an enormous range of planning approvals, often public procurement processes, and so on. So you touch on a very good point, because another of the issues in all countries really is the priority that the hosting governments give to particular projects. And that's even more pronounced in emerging markets, where the existing stock of infrastructure is much lower. So you really want the new projects to have the highest priority, to have the best social and economic impact. And that's not always the case. In many countries, developed and developing, the political process that operates around infrastructure distorts priorities. Sometimes large, spectacular projects become favoured, and they may not be the projects that contribute the most to economic and social development.
Amongst the most compelling global challenges, and consequently the focus of the project, are five primary areas, some of which we've already talked about. Climate-conscious investments, low-income savings, capital to cure diseases, transforming education, and finally investing in infrastructure are the key challenges facing the developing world, as suggested by UBS and the Centre for Global Development. We'll hear next from two of the finalists who focused on the areas Paul Moy was just talking about, infrastructure.
My name is Namokale Chintu, and I manage UBS Asset Management's proprietary investments. So the idea is to try and increase the amount of infrastructure investment in developing countries. And basically, I represent the team called the Electrifiers, and what we'd like to do is combine existing ways in which infrastructure is financed in developing countries with the requirements that private investors have. So rather than having multilaterals like the World Bank and the IFC financing these projects, you can have more private participation in financing these infrastructure projects. It all depends on the needs of developing countries, but roads and bridges and power and electricity, I mean, for example, $1 billion worth of power financing in the power sector can provide electricity to 20 million people. That's three times the size of Switzerland. So you can definitely make an impact there. Sometimes the developing countries don't necessarily have the capabilities to be able to structure infrastructure deals that are bankable, that investors might be able to want. And sometimes they're not able to mitigate some of the risks. We know that financial markets rely on certain indices. So for example, you know, the level of corruption in a country might not necessarily mean that an infrastructure project can't be executed. So what we want to do is to work alongside the multilateral development banks and partner with them who understand these countries really well, so that when we bring private sector money into these investments, we have an alignment of interest between the investors and the multilateral development banks and the developing countries where these investments would go into.
My name is Stanley Guo, and I'm based in Hong Kong in the investment banking team in the financial institutional group. So I cover banks, insurances, and sovereign wealth funds. Infrastructure is one of the most fundamental human needs. It is building block of our economy and our society. But we face $500 billion per year of funding gap. That's very massive. So our solution is aiming to close a gap from the most fundamental way. You see, historically, the existing solution focused on financing itself. But our solution wants to tackle the root of the problem, meaning that we want to make infrastructure fundamentally more attractive as an asset class by setting proper incentives. So the way we do that is for UBS to establish a UBS Infrastructure Impact Investment Fund to invest in a diversified pool of assets over the different regions. And we have innovative features, borrow the idea from financial engineering, to create two different trenches, a financial trench and an impact trench, to capture the different needs of these two separate capital pools, to leverage on each other and accelerate the impact. If our solution is implemented, it will be the first capital market-based solution that captures the three market pillars: risk, return, and impact. By meaning that, I refer to risk mitigation, return enhancement, and impact alignment.
Another member of the Grand Challenge jury panel is Beatriz Martin Jimenez from UBS Investment Bank. She talks about the power of finance as a force for good in the world. Again, Monocle's Daniel Giacopelli is putting the questions.
It's very important that you believe that you're having an impact, not only in the bank, but also, you know, in the greater world. I do think that we need to work with a lot of stakeholders as we do in any other business that we do. But yeah, I think that is absolutely possible.
Why didn't you enter the competition?
I did, actually, but they kicked me out.
They wanted you to be a judge instead.
Well, when they called me, actually, funny enough, I thought, I cannot be a judge. But then soon thereafter, they actually announced the finalists and, you know, we were not there. But when I've seen the work, I have to say we would never have made it to the finals. So this is really good work.
And in terms of the developing world and these challenges, looking forward in the future, do you think that we'll see some of these solutions that we see here today in practice?
Yeah, I think in some form or another, the winner is going to be the one that, you know, managed to convince us and present better and, you know, just wins this competition. But I think the other probably objective of this competition is to get us to think about what other things we can do, even if not at a big scale, but what other things are implementable and we could actually do something about that. So I don't think the losers will be losers. I think the losers will be just the one that didn't win. But absolutely, we should think about what to do with all the ideas, yes.
In Zurich, before the winner of the Grand Challenge was revealed this week, the group CEO of UBS, Sergio Ermotti, addressed the assembled guests. Let's take a listen.
You all know that we are looking at excellence in terms of delivering good returns to shareholders, delivering good advice and products to our clients. We want to be a good place to work, so we want to be an attractive employer. And as we do all that, we do think we create value and we contribute to society by, you know, doing that. But there is also another part of the equation that we can do in our free time, in our work time, where we try to combine also doing some things for society and creating additional value. So the Grand Challenge fits into the UBS in society aspect, but also fits very much into what we want to be and what we are all about. So you are sick to hear me, you want to know who's the winner, I guess. I know you know what is the winner all about. They gonna fly to Washington to work and implement these initiatives for the development.
The Center for Global Development
exactly.
Then look to implement.
Right, and I think that would be another fascinating experience, going to Washington with this center. So I can open now.
Yep.
It's not sealed, so I don't know if it's really...
There was no tampering with that, I assure you.
So, the winner is Spavest.
Let's hear then from the winner, from Spavest, talking to Monocle's Daniel Giacopelli.
Yeah, I'm Vijay Sundaram. I'm based in New York. I work for the UBS Investment Bank in the equities division. Well, first of all, I think we're extremely excited and we're also humbled at winning. It's just fantastic. But, you know, our project really attacked one of the biggest socioeconomic problems, which is the difficulty which low-income people have in accumulating savings. It's a problem which impacts people all over the globe in all nations. And the idea was for us to take that problem and meld it with a lot of UBS's capabilities and a lot of the emerging technologies such as electronic payments and create a way for people to save in an easy and accessible way and build up savings over time that can really be life transforming for them. When you make a purchase, we will take a small additional amount over and above the payment and put it into a savings account. Now, I think one of the key things will be identifying what the correct percentage is. I think it has to be something which will be meaningful enough to grow over time. But at the same time, obviously, it can't be something which itself diminishes someone's lifestyle. So I think those are some of the things we'll have to trade off as we roll this out.
And when you were making your presentation, the hosts asked the audience to raise their hands, and pretty much everybody raised their hands and said they would themselves download such an app or use such a service if it were invented.
Yeah, I mean, that was really great to hear. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you think you have a compelling idea, but to see that corroborated, I think, is just very exciting and great for us to see.
So you and your team, what's next now? What happens?
First of all, we collectively exhale, and then we basically get to work, right? I mean, look, we're very, very serious about rolling this out into something which can be a real initiative that can make UBS proud. It can make the whole community proud of UBS on a global basis. So we will be going to Washington. We'll be working with CGD to try and identify how we roll this out in the best possible manner. One of the things we will be doing is assessing which markets make most sense to address first and identifying the partners we need, the additional capabilities we need, both from within UBS and outside, to turn our dream into reality.
And that brings us to the end of this 92nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more as ever at monocle.com or catch up via our website, iTunes, SoundCloud or your preferred platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.